In the holy name of Jesus. We don't know what the younger of the two sons said after his father received him and welcomed him back after he had gone astray, after he had taken his share of the inheritance and squandered it all on reckless living and, according to the older son, on prostitutes. Again, we don't know his response. He was probably dumbfounded at his father's mercy. After all, in asking for his share of the inheritance, he had basically said to his father, "Hey, Dad, you aren't dying quickly enough. I want my share of the inheritance now." So he got it. His father graciously gave it to him, and he took off to a distant land. He took off and apparently forgot about his father and his home. He took off and gathered to himself, or rather, there gathered around him a host of parasites who took up with him because he had a lot of money to spend. He threw a lot of parties. Hey, this young man who had his share of the father's inheritance was a good time, a party. He lived the high life. But then he blew it all. All that money, all that share of his father's inheritance, gone. He began to be in need, desperate need. And so he hired himself out for a job to feed pigs. Now, that may not seem too shocking or scandalous to you, but remember, he was a good Jewish boy, and Jews did not have anything to do with swine. So the fact that he was feeding pigs showed how deeply he had descended, how far down he had come. And he was so hungry. He was emaciated that he longed to be fed with the pods that the pigs were eating. He wanted to get down in the trough beside the pigs and say, "Move over. I need a little bit of this." But then we're told he came to himself. He returned to his senses. He had a change of mind. And he said, "Hey, I had it better off at home with Dad. My father's hired servants have more than enough to eat, and here I am starving to death. I'm perishing with hunger. So here's what I'll do. I'll go back to my father, and I'll say to him," maybe trying to butter him up or win his sympathy, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. That's true. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's true. Treat me as one of your hired servants." But the father wasn't going to do that. So the son arises, he leaves the pigs behind. Maybe he has a good meal of pods so he can have strength for the journey. And he goes home to his father. He goes home to the place he had abandoned. He goes down to the place that he thought was too confining, too restrictive. It wasn't what he had wanted, but he wanted it now. Maybe the father got up every day and he went out and stood by the road and looked off into the distance to see if his son was returning. We don't know if he did that. But at any rate, while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. And he felt compassion toward him. He didn't judge him. He didn't condemn him. No, this old man hiked up his robes and he ran. And he gathered his son into his arms and gave him a big hug. And he kissed him. He was welcoming him back into the family that he had basically denied. He was welcoming him back into relationship with himself, Father and Son. And the Son goes into the spiel. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But before he could say, treat me as one of your hired servants, the Father says, enough of that. And he says to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and clothe him in it. And give him a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. Let us make merry. Let's have a big party. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was perishing and is now found. And so they began to celebrate. Maybe the son sat there in shocked silence while the party was going on. He may have been dumbfounded by the mercy and compassion his father showed him. He was basically saying, hey, if you'll let me back, I'll work as your slave. But his father would have none of that. His father welcomed him back and received him, even though he wasn't worthy to be called his son any longer. Maybe after the banquet ended, after several days, the son came to his father and said, thanks, Dad. I never expected that. I expected you to berate me, to belittle me, to lecture me. I expected to be put out in the barn to sleep. I expected to wear the clothing of a slave, and yet you did not treat me that way. You welcomed me back. You not only treated me as your son, but as an honored, welcomed, beloved member of the household. Again, we don't know what he said, what went on. It was a parable. Jesus doesn't tell us that. But we do know about the older son. The older son who had stayed at home. The older son who, according to himself, had done everything faithfully, had slaved for his father, had never disobeyed his commandments. The older son came from the fields and he heard the noise of celebration, the glasses clinking, people singing, people dancing, a good time, even a raucous time. What a big party it was. And he wondered, what was going on? What's happened? How come I wasn't told about this? Well, he was off at a distance in the field. He wasn't at home. So he asked a servant, hey, what's going on here? And the servant told him, your brother has come back. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he received him back safe and sound. He received him. He welcomed him. His son was back and the father was overjoyed. We know what the older son did. He was angry. Actually, the word is wrathful. It's like the wrath of God, which is not our prerogative. But this son showed wrath to his brother. In fact, he would not even recognize him as his brother. When he was talking with his father about it, he said, this son of yours who squandered your wealth on prostitutes, he would not recognize him as his brother. All these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends, but you welcomed him back. You killed the fattened calf for him. Grumble, gripe, complain, grouch. Could use another word, but I won't. He wasn't glad his brother had come back. He didn't even recognize him as his brother. He begrudged his father's mercy toward the so-called prodigal son. He resented it. He thought it was unjust. It wasn't fair. I've done all these things for you, Father. You should have rewarded me, and yet you reward your son, this son of yours, even despite the fact of how he has lived, how he has treated you, how he has despised you. And listen to what the Father says and take these words to heart. Son, child, you are always with me. You haven't left, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting, it was necessary to celebrate and be glad because this your brother, and the father is reminding his older son of the relationship between himself and his younger brother who had gone astray. This your brother was dead and is now alive, raised to new life. He was perishing, lost, and is found. And so ends the parable. But what's the point of the parable? What's Jesus saying? Well, for one, he's speaking of God's mercy. God's mercy toward the undeserving. God's mercy toward you and me. All have sinned and surely gone astray. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even us Christians, even us who have been baptized, we sin. We fall short of the glory of God. And as Luther says, we daily, as the baptized, crucify the sinful nature and do it daily over and over again by contrition and repentance, a change of mind, by reorienting ourselves through the Holy Spirit from our sin, from our rebellion to Christ Jesus and His mercy toward the undeserving. God has shown that mercy to you. You receive the benefits of that mercy here in the divine service. Yeah, God gives you His gifts, even though you and I are completely undeserving. You know, it's like, well, you are clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness. You, in your baptism, wear the ring that shows you are God's dear child in Christ. And the party, the banquet, the fattened calf, they're the sacrificial Lamb of God gives Himself to you in His body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Let us rejoice and be glad as we sing in the non-Lenten seasons, thank the Lord and sing His praise. Tell everyone what He has done. Rejoice and be glad. You have a Savior. But the older son was not willing to rejoice in that fact. Again, he thought he had to work his way into his father's good graces. And he grumbled, he complained, he muttered, he griped. Open your thesaurus and look up the synonyms. He was like the Pharisees and the scribes at the beginning of today's gospel reading. They saw the tax collectors and the sinners, who were of course unworthy, drawing near to Jesus to hear His word, to be with him, to sit down at table with him. And they grumbled and complained. This man receives sinners and eats with them. What a scandal this is. It's part of what Paul refers to as the scandal of the cross. God loves sinners. He loves you. He loves me. God receives sinners to himself through the gospel, through the means of grace. God doesn't say, you've done this, you've done that, you have to live as my hired servant. No, he says, you are my son, you are my daughter. I rejoice to have you as a member of my family for the sake of my son. This man receives sinners and eats with them, and thanks be to God for that. And you know what? We too are called to rejoice when the prodigals return. We too are called to rejoice when sinners, even of the most notorious kind, and you can think silently about those you think are the worst sinners, God receives all who repent, no matter the scandal of their sins. Jesus sinners doth receive. All this saying, ponder, because that is the gospel. That is the good news, not only for you, but for all the world in Christ Jesus. So get the glum looks off your face. Rejoice. Be glad. We're at a party today. We're at a banquet. And as we know, it's a foretaste of the heavenly eternal banquet to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.